More and again, as they were singing that, I was reminded of what Jesus said in the, when he wrapped up the Sermon on the Mount. This was his conclusion in Matthew 7. He says, "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds their house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse. Why? Because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." My hope is that we would be people who build our houses, our lives, on the foundation of being obedient to what God has told us to do. That's really what we're all about as a church, right? Hearing from God and doing what he says. That's kind of our mission of making disciples. We want to help you hear from God and do what he says. And today, like I told you earlier, is going to be a little bit weird, okay? I'm just warning you. It's going to be different. We're going to take a break from our series that we've been talking about, the Bible that Jesus read. We're going to come back to that next week. There's actually three more weeks in the series. Next week, we're going to talk about the prophets. Week after that, we're going to talk about apocalyptic literature. You know, for those of you that have an infatuation for the end times, that week is going to be really disappointing for you. But we're going to talk about that. And then the final week of the series, we're going to show how the entire Old Testament points to Jesus. But like I said, today, we're going to do something different. Today we're going to talk about something that we get to do together as a church, no matter where we are around our county, or some of you I know are paying attention from different states, which is crazy to think about, but something that we can do together as a church family during the season of Lent. Now, I know what some of you think when you hear the word Lent. You think that stuff that's in your dryer, you know, that you clean out. But others of you, like, you know that Lent is actually the 40 days, the period of 40 days leading up to Easter. It's a time of preparation. And if you grew up in Baptist circles, you never celebrated Lent, right? It just was something that those high church people that were weird and that they did. But we're going to have an opportunity to do something for these 40 days leading up to Easter. And most of the time, what we do during the season of Lent is we give something up, right? You give up chocolate, or you give up Facebook, or you give up weird things. We're not going to talk about giving up anything. We're going to talk about something that we get to do together as a church family that I think could be transformational for us as a church the next 40 days. Lent begins this coming Wednesday, if you didn't know, your church schedule or whatever. It ends on Easter, which is, you know, the first Sunday in April this year. But let me kind of give you the backstory of why we're going to do what I'm going to encourage us to do over the next 40 days. It all kind of dates back to about 11 months ago when, you know, the pandemic kind of hit us full force. And we went from being, you know, life is normal, to not even being able to gather as a church for a few months. You remember that? You know, we met, we filmed from the youth room up there. It was me and Trey and Gary all in that room, and the rest of y'all were watching online, and we were thankful for that, but we had to, you know, not meet for a while. But 11 months ago was the last time I saw many of you, especially those of you that are still at home right now. Like those of you who are part of our church, it's been almost a year since I've seen any of you. And for me as your pastor, that has been extremely difficult. And it's really been one of the most difficult parts of the pandemic. I mean, wearing a mask is annoying, you know, things like that are just bothersome, but just not seeing so many of you has been extremely difficult for me over the past year. And it makes sense. I understand why some of you are at high risk. You know, others of you, we don't have our regular kids' nursery or other stuff. And so it's just easier to be at home and to worship from home. And I'm so grateful that we have the online venue that we get to allows other people to participate with our weekly worship gathering. But that none of that negates the fact that I miss how things were. I mean, how many of you in the room miss how things were? I think that's almost all of us. If you don't miss how things were, I'm worried about you, right? I mean, we were talking about that in our hub group this past Wednesday. We just miss how things were. We took so many things for granted. You know, we never knew a chili cook-off could be such an exciting time, right? So Brandon said at our hub group on Wednesday, but I just miss seeing so many of you. And I think that others of you, you miss the same thing as well. And really what it is I've missed our church family. I've missed our church community. I've missed us being together. But I started thinking over the past kind of few months, what can we do as a church family to still grow and engage in our community, even though we're not together. In this new normal where things are different, how can we be a church community even in the time of COVID when things are all crazy like they are and half of people are online, half of you are in the room, we're not even sitting close to each other, we're all wearing masks, we can't tell if you're smiling or laughing or frowning or crying, you know what I mean? We just don't know. How can we still be community? And the reason why this is so important is because throughout Scripture, it's very, very clear that the church is not just people scattered all these different places. No, the church is the people gathered to worship God. That's what the church is. It's these called out ones who gather together in order to accomplish something more. And community is so important throughout Scripture. In fact, the early church is described in Acts chapter 2 by how they lived out their community. Like after all these people became Christians, it went from the disciples to 120 followers of Jesus, then Peter gave this sermon and 3,000 people became Christians all in one day. And they're described in their community in this way in Acts chapter 2. Look at what it says. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. He goes on. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In that passage, there's so many descriptors that are really distinctives of the early church's community. I mean, think about it. They were devoted. They were committed to some things. And the things they were committed to were the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. They were filled with awe and wonder as the disciples performed miracles. And they were generous. They thought about others' needs before their own needs. They met together regularly. They ate together. They worshiped together. The uniqueness of their community was something that other people noticed and wanted to be a part of. That's why they continued to add to their numbers daily those who were being saved. I just love those distinctives of the early church's community. And I think really all of those things should be goals for us. Like those should be targets on the wall. That those are some things that should be distinctives of us even today in 2021. Those weren't just things for the early church. No, those should describe us as well. I want our church community to look like that. But as I was thinking about that passage, I've kind of been wondering, what can we do right now when things are as crazy as they are to build our community? And what's interesting as well is right now, the doctoral seminar that I'm a part of is about creating community. So every week we're talking about different ways that we can develop and grow the community in our different churches. And I'm learning a lot. But this morning I want to share one of the things that we've discussed, that we've talked about, that I think could help us grow in our community regardless of what's going on with COVID, regardless of whether we had to shut down just like we did 11 months ago, or we just keep in this hybrid model like we're doing right now, regardless of what's going on, this is something that we can do together to grow in community. Because I think we'd all agree that one of the ways that we grow in community is doing stuff together. You ever done stuff with other people and you feel like your relationship with them either got better or worse? You know, you grew... You hopefully it's better, right? But you grow in community with people as you do something with them. Like if you've ever been on a mission trip, you feel like you know those people, like for better or worse. I know Gary Shalek a lot better now because I spent a week with him in Haiti, right? You know, I mean, you get to know people as you do things together. Well, here's what I want you to think about. We're going to do something together that's going to grow our community even though we're not together. Because even though we're not together, we can do something together that helps us grow in community. And together as a church, I want us to do something a little bit different. That for the next 40 days, actually starting Wednesday, during the season of Lent, I want us as a church to commit to set aside 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes, that's all I'm asking you to do. Set aside 10 minutes a day to do what I'm gonna call a daily prayer rhythm. Where a daily prayer rhythm, where you're going to spend a little bit of extra time with God for those 10 minutes a day, and all of us are going to do it together even though we're not together. Like, this is something you're going to do on your own. This is something you're going to do individually. But, and I know that seems unrelated to community, but even though you're doing it individually, we're doing it together. And I think something happens when we do something together as we kind of share in this time, this rhythm of daily prayer with a church family. And if you've read my emails the past few weeks, you look what I posted on Facebook today, I've been talking about this app called Lectio 365. Okay. It's a daily kind of devotion where we kind of pray through the Bible together. It's pretty cool. It's being used all over the world. It was invented in or started in England, so half of the voices on there are British, which is really cool. It just makes it cool because everything's cooler with a British accent, right? It just makes it more spiritual or super better. I just like a British accent. I wish I had one. But this app is really this daily devotional resource that is designed to help us pray the Bible every day. And I think something supernatural happens when we pray the Bible every day. And I think something supernatural happens to our community when all of us decide to pray the Bible together every day. And I want to kind of tell you how it works. Like I said, it takes about 10 minutes a day. And every day follows, every day except Sunday. They do something special on the Sabbath, on Sunday to kind of help focus us for a day of rest. But every day follows this outline, the P-R-A-Y outline. Now, we know what the word P-R-A-Y says, right? What does it mean? Pray. Very good. But it stands for different things. So the P stands for pause, to pause and be still. I think we got that. Do we have that? Yeah, there we go. To pause, to be still. The R stands for rejoice with a psalm and reflect on scripture. A stands for ask for God's help. And Y, yield to his will for your life. That every day we're going to together, whether we're doing it in the morning or at lunchtime or in the afternoon or at bedtime or on our way to work and our way home from work, we're going to pause to be still. We're going to rejoice with a psalm. We're going to reflect on scripture. We're going to ask God for help, and we're going to yield to his will in our lives. And what I love about this app is that this is something that all of us can do together. Now, I know some of you aren't technologically up on things, and you might have trouble downloading this app. And if that's you, whether you're at home or in the room, and you want these devotions mailed to you every week, we're going to print them off and mail them to you. So if that's you, you got to let me know, and we'll get them mailed to you so that you have these, so that you can participate with this, even if you don't want to use your smart device, right? But most of us have a smartphone, and we're going to use this. Like I said, what I love about it is it's something that you can read and just take your time to go through, or it has a play function and you can listen to it. I already told you that half the voices are British, so that makes it, you know, better and more spiritual anyway. But you can listen to it. You can, and that's what I've been doing. I just kind of close my eyes and I allow myself to listen to this and just soak it in. It includes these intentional times of just silence and just being able to just be quiet, which all of us need so that we can refocus on God. But this is something that I want all of us to do during this season of Lent, because, like I said, one of the ways that we can build community is by doing something together, even though we're not together. Doing something together, even though we're not together. Now, it's one thing to download the app. I could say, hey, download the app. We're going to start it. Let's close in prayer. Thanks for coming today. But I want to do something. This is where we're going to get a little uncomfortable. We're going to actually do one of these together today. Whether you're in the room or you're at home online, we're going to set aside the next 8 minutes to just do one of these together. I took the one from this past Monday, and I'm just going to kind of read you through it. Now, I'm just going to give you a kind of heads up. There are going to be some times of silence that might be awkward. I just want you, whenever those times of silence come, to maybe re-pray what I've already prayed, to restate to God what you've already heard, to just listen to his voice, to listen to his Holy Spirit as he speaks to you. And so here's what I want you to do. I think that posture is really, really important when we come to God, right? Just like if you've ever been in an argument with somebody, and you know if you're sitting there like this, you know they're not really open to talking to you, right? You're just closed up. And a lot of times we come to God and we're like this. But I think, so I want to invite you over to God with an openness, and our posture kind of reflects that openness. So I want to invite you over the next 8 minutes to come to God with a posture of openness by opening your hands to him. And to help focus you, I just want to encourage you to close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. This isn't a time for that. This is a time for you to have an encounter with God. So, this week, we're journeying through Jesus' Beatitudes, the blessings that lay the foundation of Jesus' transformative message, the Sermon on the Mount. Together, we will explore the final blessing, that given to those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of Jesus' name. We will look at what it means to accept Jesus' radical invite into this place of unexpected blessing. As I enter prayer now, I pause to be still, to breathe slowly, to recenter my scattered senses upon the presence of God. God of every blessing, in this new season, I invite you to shape my soul with your words and inspire my life through your works. Teach me to walk in the way of blessing. I choose to rejoice in God's encouragement today, joining in the ancient cry of all God's people in the words of Psalm 69. The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged. For the Lord hears the cries of the needy. He does not despise his imprisoned people. Today, as I reflect on the last of the Beatitudes, those blessings that invite us to participate in the life of Jesus, I ask, what does it mean to be invited into Jesus' persecution? Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2, and verse 8 says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, 'Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" Have I ever been persecuted for the sake of righteousness? And could I receive it as a genuine blessing? I don't want to mistake mere opposition for persecution, nor do I want to harbor a persecution complex born out of my own arrogance, rudeness, stubbornness, or self-righteousness. The only good I can see in persecution is if it means I am joining Jesus more deeply in his righteousness. Lord, would you show me your righteousness? And would you show me what it will mean for me to join you in it? I ask for courage in any area where I am afraid. Lord, give courage and comfort to my sisters and brothers in faith who face persecution around the world for the sake of righteousness. I name any individuals or situations I know of where this is happening. As I return to the passage, I open my ears to hear your word and my heart to yield to you once again. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is this righteousness that I am invited into that will cause persecution? I consider the righteous life of Jesus, the way he welcomed the outcast and the unwanted, the way he resisted the temptations of Satan, religious leaders, and worldly powers, the way he committed himself completely to the will of his Father, though it led him to the cross. Father God, frightened as I may be, I want to say along with Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. Help me to receive the blessing of your righteous way, even if it also means receiving the blessing of persecution. And now, as I prepare to take this time of prayer into the coming day, the Lord who loves me says in Revelation, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen. So that was what it's like. And I know for some of you, you're like, man, that was so refreshing and cool. That like fed my soul. Others of you, that was the weirdest thing I've ever done. Like that was so weird. Like I was praying somebody else's prayers. It almost seemed sacrilegious or whatever. But like this is going to be a challenge for some of you. Others, this is going to be really easy. Some of us have already started doing this. I know Liz and I, we started this. Jamie started it. I know Brett started it. Gary started it. Actually, I have a quote from Gary. He texted me about this. He does it on his way to work every day, and he told me that when he reads his Bible every morning, that's like his daily healthy diet, like the food that he eats. But that this, the Lectio 365, is like his daily workout. Right? It goes together. Like what you eat and how you exercise goes together to have a healthy lifestyle. And that's kind of what it is for him. But I want to, like I said, I want to challenge you to carve out 10 minutes a day to do this every day during the season of Lent. Because what we do alone, we're actually doing together. And it's going to help us to grow in community. And here's what's so cool about this. You can do it. You can pick whatever time of the day you want to do this. Some of you, you're going to want to do this in the morning. You're going to do it on your way to work or on your way home in the afternoon. Others of you, you're going to do it at lunch break or sometime in the afternoon like me. Others of you, you're going to want to do this multiple times during the day to kind of re-engage and reconnect your heart to God and what he's up to and what he's saying to you. And here's what I think is going to happen as we do this together. I think we're going to start to think more alike. I think that we're going to learn how to pray better, because there's none of us in this room or online who are experts at prayer. Some of us are better than others, but man, I think all of us realize we could pray better. In fact, today's Lectio 365 I was listening to before I came out here taught me a completely different way to pray for you on Valentine's Day. Things I would have never thought of. It just reminds me of some things. You're going to learn some new ways to pray, but what I think is so powerful, it's going to teach us as a church over the next 40 days leading up to Easter how to pray the Bible. Because I think a lot of times when it comes to the Bible, we just read it and we try and do what it says. But man, something powerful happens when we learn to pray Scripture. And it's going to teach us to do that. And I think that there's going to be some things that pop up. God's going to do some really cool things in our hearts. So that's what I want you to do. Download the app. If you don't have a smartphone, you don't want to do it on your smartphone, you want us to mail it to you, please let me know. You can call it to the office, let Lisa know, and we will mail out these devotions for you to use throughout this season of Lent. And I just want to say something for those of you who kind of grew up in a tradition where something like this is really, really out there. I want to encourage you to take a risk and to try something different in your relationship with God over the next 40 days. Because I think we can get stuck in our relationship with God. We just do the same things over and over again, and we get in this rut. And I just want to challenge you to just take a risk. Do something different. Others of you, you just can't wait to jump on this because it just something touched inside of your soul. Share it with your friends and family. I know Liz has shared it with her mom. We've shared it with some other people. That it's just this incredible opportunity. Here's what's so cool. We're not just doing this together as a church family. We're joining with thousands and thousands and thousands of other Christians all over the world by doing this. I think there's something pretty cool about that, right? Because the church isn't just us. The church is the millions and millions and millions of people in places like China and Iran, where the church is growing like crazy, even though people are getting arrested and killed for being Christians, in Italy, in Europe, in South America, in Africa, and here. We're joining with people all over the world to refocus our minds and our thoughts, to pray Scripture, to become more and more like Jesus. So, if you have any questions about any of that, I'd love to talk with you. I can't wait to see what God's going to do over this next 40 days as we prepare ourselves for Easter, as we look forward to celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And that's really the transition that we're going to make into doing communion this morning. If you're in the room, the little communion cups are in the chair in front of you. If you're at home, I hope you have something you're going to use for communion. See, really, this would really just be a waste of time. This would just be a useless ritual if it weren't for what we remember when we celebrate communion. See, Jesus' death and resurrection is what makes all of this worthwhile, which it's the thing that gives all of this its meaning and gives us really hope. And so this morning, as we take the bread, which, right, it's just bread, but it reminds us that Jesus' body was broken for us, and we take the juice, which is just juice, but it reminds us that his blood was shed so that our sins could be forgiven, that we would just ask him, as we remember him, to reveal himself to us in a new and a fresh way over the next 40 days. So I invite you to close your eyes and to take the bread and say, help me to know you more over the next 40 days, Jesus. And as you take the juice, why don't you say a prayer saying, God, help me to understand your sacrifice for me more over the next 40 days. Jesus, we're so thankful for what you've done for us. Even though we didn't do anything to deserve salvation. You loved us so much that you sacrificed your life for us. Thank you for that love. Thank you that it says in Romans that you have, or in John, that you have lavished your love on us by really being the sacrifice for our sin. And we just thank you for the opportunity to remember that. And I'm just so grateful for the chance for us as a church family to do something together, even though we're not together during this season of Lent, that I think might transform us and help us grow in community. That might open the door for you to do something in us and through us that we really can't even imagine right now. You are the God who is able to do incredibly more than we could ever ask or imagine for your glory. And we ask that you would do that. I thank you so much for this church family. Can't wait to see what you're going to do and celebrate that on Easter. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.